हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। In this Keno Upanishad, we have seen the first five mantras, the first section. It's made very clear, it is all pervasive, one day reality is available for recognition in the mind, and this is distinct from the thoughts, distinct from the mind also. Because objectifying the mind is the most difficult thing. Because even great thinkers who claim themselves to be philosophers, especially Nyayavaisheshika philosophers, all of them hold on to the view that all the thoughts, especially jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, desire, etc., they take them to be the Atma Dharmaha, attributes of the Atma. So it's very important for us to distinguish the Atma from even those thoughts. They're not attributes of the Atma, because Atma is absolutely attributeless. So there are philosophers who think they're definitely the attributes of the Atma. So attributeless Atma is attributeless. Nirvisheshaha Atma. Nirvisesham Brahma. That has to be clear. Only then Atma becomes very understood. Therefore, it is shown here that how the Atma is distinct from the mind also. So that which is distinct from that which obtains as the knower of the emotions, knower of the various cognitions, knower of the various thoughts, is distinct from the thoughts. That which is distinct from the thoughts is that which is distinct from the mind, antahkaranam, is attributeless, formless reality, consciousness. That's why here it's very important for the Upanishad to say, and then Acharya to Bhagavad-pada to explain also. So you understood, in the previous mantra also, Bhagavad-pada made it very clear. All the attributes, the karta, bhokta, vijnata, niyanta, prashasita, vijnanam, anandam, brahma, various words are used only from the standpoint of the anatma. From the standpoint of the atma, the brahman, no word can be used. No word can be used because no word can reveal. That is why vacha anabhiditam was made very clear. No word can reveal means this, that which is distinct from the mind is the most abstract, this inexplicably subtlest and attributeless. Nirvisesham, Nirgunam, Chaitanyam. சுவிசாக என் மனசான மனுதே ஏனாகுர் மனோமதம் ததேவ பிரம்மத்வம் வித்தி நேதம் எதிதமுபாசதே. சோ மனசான மனுதே ஏன ஆகு மனஹா மதம். சோ இட் இஸ் ஆத்மா இஸ் நாட் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் தாட், பட் மைண்ட் இஸ் எனி தாட் மைண்ட் விச் இஸ் கான்ஸ்டிடியூட்டட் ஆஃப் தி தாட்ஸ் இஸ் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா, ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் கான்சியஸ்னஸ். இவன் தோ தேர் இஸ் நோ டிஸ்டன்ஸ் பட் ஸ்டில் இட் இஸ் ஆப்ஜெக்ட். So here, the mind is constituted of various cognitions. And here we saw yesterday, mind and intellect, the two different functional names are given to the one antahkaranam. Manaha, buddhihi, mind and intellect are two different functional names given to one antahkaranam, which is constituted of various thought modifications. So yesterday I was talking to you about the cognition. Whichever thought modification we take, when the thought shines, it can be a thought pertaining to an object, external object, or it can be a thought pertaining to an internal object. What is internal subtle object? When we objects perceived through sense organs or external gross objects. So when these five sense organs are backed by the conscious mind, the mind is not backing the five sense organs, even the sense powers cannot be functional. So mind has to be conscious, sentient and functional for it to be capable of even making the sense powers function. That is why we say mind is superior to the sense organs. Only through sense organs, the external world has to be perceived. That's why the external world of objects, however vast it is, great it is nothing but a world constituted of five different objects obtaining in five different forms. The world is so great, yes, but there's no sixth object. There is no sixth vishayaha. Pancha vishayanam samuhaha prapanchaha. There are only fivefold objects, objects perceptible through the five sense organs. Shabdasparsha rupa rasa gandhanam samuhaha eva jagat. Whatever you know, how much are we know, everything we know only in five different forms. Shabda, sound, countless number of sounds we hear, shabdaha, bahuvidaha, various sounds we hear, but there are objects known in the form of sounds heard through the hearing power, we know very well. Shabdaha, sparshaha. So objects of touch are varied. Sparshaha, rasaha. Of course, different tastes. Tastes are different. But all are known through this subtle power of taste. Upting the tongue, so rasaha, shabdasparsha rasa, gandha, different smells are, fragrances and stings of smells are smelt. Shabdasparsha rasa, gandha, rupaha, rupani. So sparshaha, gandha we say, but rupani, and countless number of forms are seen, perceived through the seeing power. So, the external objective universe, however vast it is, still it's only constituted of fivefold objects. And this external world is purely dependent on your sense organs. For it to be perceived, thereby to be become the known, to have the status of being the known. That's why we say the world is dependent on the sense organ. That is why the world is evident and the sense organs are evidence. Evidences for us. And even the subtle sense powers, they are functional only when the mind is backing. We can understand this fact very easily. It is the mind. That's why we say sarva sadharanam. Acharya makes it very clear. Sarva karana sadharanam. Sarva karana sadharanam. Why it is sarva karana sadharanam manaha? Because it is one mind which is with all sense powers. And these five sense powers completely remain resolved as non-functional, as though they're non-existent. When a mind is passive, mind is non-functional. That's why it's very important to understand this, even though it's already very known, well-known teaching to you, teaching for all of us, still, better to understand this in this context when you're talking about the mind. In deep sleep state, the mind is non-functional. And I told you all many times before, it should be very clear, only when there is manifestation of knowledge of existence in terms of I am, the mind is in waking state. So whenever there is no manifestation of knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am, the mind is in deep sleep state. So the deep sleep state of the mind, waking state of the mind, we understand in terms of the presence and absence of the eye cognition. The knowledge of the self, existence of the self, and the ignorance of the existence of the self. When there is ignorance of the existence of the self, deep sleep state. When there is knowledge of the existence of the self, waking state. And when there is knowledge of the existence of the self, the waking state alone, all mind is totally functional, all thoughts arise, and the respective thoughts pertaining to the ear, pertaining to the eyes, pertaining to the nose, pertaining to the smell, pertaining to the tongue and pertaining to the skin. Panchavidha vrittayaha, five types of vrittis arise, and each vritti of one antahkarnam is associated with the respective sense power. So also the vrittis associated with the powers of organs of actions. So the mind is amazingly connected to all the five sense powers, also all five powers of organs of actions. Karmendriya sambandhini yaha vrittayaha, jnanendriya sambandhiha vrittayaha. That is how all 10 powers are functional. Because when they're functional, mind is functional, all the vrittis arise. Vrittis associated with the sense powers. The sense powers are also functional. Then they also have the status of being existent. And all powers of organs of actions are functional. That's why all physical activities are possible. Physical movements are possible. It is the mind. Mind remains passive. All 10 powers resolve. No activity, no knowledge. Karma jnanam. Nothing happens in deep sleep state. That's what we call deep sleep state. So mind is present, but non-functional, passive. Even though physiological functions are happening, still the knowledge of the external world of objects and activities are possible. The life itself is possible only when the mind is functional. That's why the vrittis have to arise. Only when the mind is functional, the vrittis are back up the sense organs. Then they become functional. Then perception is possible. And when the perceptions happen, then there is cognitions pertaining to the objects are possible. And the cognitions are there. And it is the cognition which is illumined by, cognition obtaining in the form of a thought is illumined by consciousness, Atma. What does Atma do to illumine the thoughts? Nothing. Present, sannidhi matrena. By smear that inexplicably subtlest, formless reality, abstract reality, because of the mere presence, existence of which every cognition shines, every vritti shines. That reality is the witness of the vrittis, and over of the vrittis, experience of the vrittis is distinct from the known vrittis. So this is explained because Nyaya Vaisheshikas, they think these thoughts are attributes of the Atma. They're not the attributes. Attributeless Atma is the distinct from the mind. So all Manodharmaha, attributes of the mind, various cognitions. Yesterday I was talking to you about the cognition. The Vritti Jnanam is a thought pertaining to an object, external object. Suppose it's a form, an object, the thought pertaining to an external object. So book asti, pustakam asti, book is means there's a book cognition or a pen cognition or a door cognition, window cognition, car cognition, road cognition, any number of cognitions, countless number of cognitions arise when objects are perceived. Even sound cognition, smell cognition, taste cognition, we're able to say sweetness, bitterness, sour. So, cognitions pertaining to varied objects perceived through varied five different sense organs. Every cognition must be there only then the external object has its status of being existent. Otherwise, even though there is an object externally, that object will be as good as non-existent unless until there is a cognition pertaining to the object. It is no cognition pertaining to the given object. Even that object is there, still the object doesn't exist for you. So existence of any object presupposes the relevant cognition, respective cognition pertaining to the object. If there's no book cognition in the mind, and there's no book outside for you. If there's no flower cognition in the mind, there cannot be flower outside, even if you're sitting right in front of the flower. The flower is not there. The flower egg doesn't exist for you. The existence of any external object perceived presupposes the respective cognition. The perception should result in the cognition. It is a cognition which determines the existence of the external object. That's why we have countless number of cognitions pertaining to varied objects, various objects, perceived through various five sense organs. And each cognition is each constituted of two factors. There is consciousness and the vritti. This is how you have to understand vritti. That's what we call vritti jnanam. Vrittis rise. Vrittis pertaining to the objects rise. And then there's a cognition. Vrittis backing the sense organs are there, and they through the sense powers, they pervade the sense powers, through the sense powers they also go to the respective objects, and they pervade the objects, illumine the objects, then the cognition takes place. When you say it looks as though it takes very long. It takes very, very, very quick. Within no time it happens. And that consciousness obtaining in the various thoughts is one and the same. It is one consciousness, only consciousness. That's why we say all this, in all the variable cognitions, there is one invariable consciousness. We are going to see that later on. And the Upanishad is going to present a beautiful mantra. We are going to see later on. But here itself, we understand this. And when the mind leaves the physical body, what happens? Mind being the manifesting medium for consciousness. When the mind leaves the physical body, still the consciousness continues to be there in the body. Because consciousness does not go away, it cannot move. But mind goes. But when does the mind go, leave the physical body? When the parabdha karma gets exhausted, the is over, not even a fraction of a second the mind can stay there, mind will immediately leave. This departure of the mind from the physical body is said to be the death. When the mind goes, in Bhagavad Gita we understood, along with the mind, all subtle powers and pranas leave, we say. What does it mean? The pranas stop. The vital air goes, which means all physiological functions stop slowly. All 10 powers resolve in the mind, and the mind leaves. Mind goes. When the mind goes, the mind is always conscious. Why? Because never a time it is away from consciousness. Mind leaves. Mind is the conscious mind. Mind is ever conscious. But it is passively conscious, actively conscious. In the waking state, the conscious mind is actively conscious. In deep sleep state, mind is passively conscious. That's why we say the conscious mind alone is said to be the soul here. That's why we say the Atma is not the soul, distinct from the mind. Because the travel of the mind, existence of the mind, everything is in all pervasive consciousness. Therefore, mind is ever conscious. When mind leaves, what happens? Does Atma leave? No. Atma cannot leave. The dead body is there. The same consciousness, which is pervasive of the dead body, pervasive of the body, continues to be there pervading the body. But all functions stop because the subtle powers which serve as instruments of actions and instruments of knowledge, they all go along with the mind. It is like, you know, office rooms without the officers. So no activity, no function is possible. That's why body is dead. What happens to the mind? That's a different thing. Again, mind comes back, assuming another body that we are not talking about. The consciousness continues to be there. But the consciousness is not recognizable. The dead body, consciousness is there, but it's non-recognizable. Why it is non-recognizable? Because it is not manifest. It is not manifest because there is no manifesting medium. Mind is not there, all subtle powers are not there. Therefore, when the conscious mind is absent, body is dead. The conscious mind is present, body is alive. But that mind, which is distinct from the body, which departs, that mind is also material as product. It's a constituted of sattvic aspects of 5 elements. Mind itself is inexplicably subtlest. That's why we cannot draw the mind, we cannot paint the mind, we cannot explain the mind, we cannot explain even the cognitions which constitute the mind. And that which is distinct from the mind, is the knower of the mind. The mind is functional. We understand mind in terms of various thought modifications, cognitions. There's no distance between a thought and the consciousness. We understand thought in terms of the various experiences, the cognitions, book knowledge or fan knowledge, knowledge of objects, when we can understand there is vritti. In deep sleep state, we also understand no cognition pertaining to any object is there. This is how we have to understand. In deep sleep state, there are no cognitions. There are no there's no perception of any objects. All 10 powers are non-functional because mind is non-functional, passive, which means no vritti rises, including the eye cognition, including the knowledge of self-existence. Knowledge of the existence of the self is also not, that is why we say there's ignorance. In deep sleep state, there's a total ignorance, including the ignorance of the existence of the self, ignorance of the existence of everything else. Therefore, we say there's a total ignorance in deep sleep state. Then what happens? Vritti cognitions being not there is known. Cognitions being not there is known. Mind being blank is known. The waking state, mind is filled with the cognitions, filled with constantly, continuously. Countless number of thoughts rise and resolve, pertaining to various things, activities, but in deep sleep state, no activity, no perception means what happens in deep sleep state. Mind is entirely blank. Blank means what? Mind is not absent. Mind is non-functional, passive, present, but non-functional, present, conscious, but non-functional, passive, inactive. Vrittis remain resolved. All the ten powers remain resolved non-functionally. Therefore, there's no connection with the external world. What is there experienced in deep sleep state is only ignorance. Only ignorance is experienced. Whenever there's ignorance experienced, ignorance is like the darkness. The entire world of objects, including one's body, and sense, body, mind, sense organs, what happens? Everything remains covered in darkness of ignorance. But ignorance is still perceived. Ignorance is experienced. The passive condition of the mind is experienced. Blankness of the mind is experienced. And there is no experience of the external world that is experienced, not even the experience of the deep sleep, dream world. Therefore, there is no experience. Still, there is experience. That is why deep sleep state also is said to be a state of experience, which is a state of the mind. State, non-functional state of the mind is also experienced. Functional state of the mind also is experienced. And partial functioning state of the mind is also experienced in dream state. The mind functions without the sense powers. Mind functions along with the sense powers. It's a waking state. Mind functions without the function of the sense powers. The dream state. Mind is totally non-functional, deep sleep state. So three different states of the mind are three different states of experience. And there is experiencer, which is distinct from the experienced mind. Though experience is not distant from the mind, that experiencer is formless. even that experience or status is because of, from the standpoint of the mind, which is experienced. That experiencer is the cognizer, the experiencer, the knower, observer, the witness of the antahkaranam. Mind and intellect is distinct, and that you can't explain. It's formless, abstract, subtlest. Can you deny the existence of the experiencer? If you're denying the existence of the experiencer, you're denying the existence of yourself. It is like saying, I was not there in deep sleep state. It's like saying, okay, I'm not there in deep sleep state. So you can't deny it because you have to account for the experience you have. That is why we say, you know, in all three states of experience, the one experiencer continuously there, in all the discontinuous states of mind, and which are mutually exclusive also, that experiencer knower is pure awareness, pure consciousness, pure knowledge, which is said to be again witness from the standpoint of the states of mind, states of experience. So mind is dependent on this consciousness, Atma, for its very existence, for it to become the known. Well, the mind has to become the known. Only it is existent. That is why in deep sleep state, when you're fast asleep, the mind is as though non-existent. You have to wake up from sleep to know that the blankness of mind was experienced. There was a mind. Therefore, the mind is dependent on consciousness for its very existence, and for it to be become conscious, to become sentient, to become functional. So in all the variable states of experience, in all the variable cognitions pertaining to the external world of objects experienced in the waking state, that which is invariably present is this abstract, formless, inexplicably subtlest, pure knowledge consciousness, which is Atma, which is Brahma. So may you understand that Brahman, may Atma to be Brahman, which is absolutely attributeless, not anything here that is, that a person worships, people worship. When the object changes, the perception is different, the cognized thought, the thought also be different. In various cognitive thoughts change, but awareness, the consciousness, inseparably illumining consciousness, does not change. Therefore, it's changelessly there in all, invariably, present all the variable cognitions. That is the witness, absolutely attributeless consciousness. Tasmat tadeva manasaha atmanam pratyakchetaitaram brahma vidhi na idam ityadi purvavati. Okay. We'll go to this next word. The mantra now, sixth mantra. Yachakshushana pashyati. Yena chakshugumsi pashyati. Chakshumsi. சக்ஷும்சி பத்தத்து விமிசர் சக்ஷுஷா ந பஷ்யதி ஏன சக்ஷோகம்ஷி பஷ்யதி ததேவ பிரம்மத்வம் வித்தி நேதம் யதிதம் உபாசதே. சோ யத்து யத்து சக்ஷுஷா ந பஷ்யதி ஏன சக்ஷும்ஷி பஷ்யதி. That Brahman one does not see. We already understood. Mind, which is backing the sense organ, because of which sense powers function, that mind itself cannot objectify the Atma. Atma, mind is object of consciousness, whereas Atma is not the object of consciousness. Mind is not the, mind is object of consciousness, consciousness is not the object of mind. Now what can we talk about? The sense power, which is totally dependent on the conscious mind to become functional. Of course, seeing power is great. It is through the seeing power a person sees the entire external world of forms, objects, colors, which reflect the light. But still, see, Chakshushana Pashyati Yat. That, see, Yat is an objective case, okay? Not nominative. Yat Chakshushana Pashyati. That which, we have to understand here, a person does not see through the eye or with the eye. Which means, Yena Chakshumshi Pashyati. And that because of the blessing of which a person sees all the functions of the eye. Chakshumshi Pashyati. Chakshumshi, why it's plural here? There are two eyes, why plural? So all the functions of the eye. So what are the functions of the eye? Functions mean what? Seeing various objects, seeing various colors, seeing the light. So eye perceives its own respective objects. Countless number of, of course it perceives light and it perceives countless number of colors, countless number of, that you mean different colors and countless number of forms and shapes. So the eyes are, there's a seeing power. The seeing power indriyam, chakshur indriyam, becomes conscious, sentient, functional and capable of perceiving the external objects, illumining these respective objects only because of the blessing of the conscious mind. Relatively, absolutely only because of the blessing of the consciousness. So without the consciousness, mind can't become conscious. Without the conscious mind, without being backed by the conscious mind, seeing power cannot become functional. That's why this eyes can see everything, but it cannot see the Atma. That's why it is said, Yena Chakshumshi Pashyati. Yet Chakshushana Pashyati, that absolute reality which a person does not see with the eye, but that because of the presence of which, existence of which, yena, because the blessing of which alone, the eyes, in fact, a person sees the all functions of the eye. Tadeva Brahma, that alone is Brahma. Tvam Vidhi, may you understand that to be Brahman. Na idam yad idam upasate. same meaning, you know very well. Not this which people worship as an object here. So, yat chakshushana pashyati. Very simple verse. Yat chakshushana pashyati. Na pashyati means what? Na vishayi karoti. A person does not objectify an object with the eye. So here the mind objectifies the conscious mind objectifies the light with the eye. And he objectifies. So mind itself has the status of being the knower. Relatively, the knower is the mind. Relatively, mind is the knower. It is the mind, conscious mind, which objectifies. The external objects through the sense organs. Vishayi karoti. Antahkarna vritti sanyuktena lokaha. Antahkarna vritti sanyuktena lokaha. So, antakana vritti sanyuktena. See, the world, a person sees the external world of objects through what? Only antakana vritti. If there's no vritti in the mind, eyes may be seeing, you may be staring at objects. Keeping or seeing pair wide open. See, keeping your eyes open, wide open. One can be seeing the object. There may be light and there may be object. Object may be very clear. One may be staring at the object, keeping one's eyes open. Eyes do see. I mean, eyes do perceive the object, but still, see means what? Eyes are wide open, but object is also there, but nothing gets registered in the mind. You know why? Attention is not backing the seeing power. The attention is not backing the seeing power, then even the person keeps his eyes wide open, then there will not be respective cognition. Attention is not there. With the seeing power, then there will not be cognition pertaining to the object seen. The vritti pertaining to the object will not be there. The vritti pertaining to the object seen is not there. Then there is no cognition pertaining to the same certain respective object. Then that object is not there. Therefore, antakarana vritti sanyuktena lokaha. So antakarana vritti sanyuktena chakshusha lokaha na pashyati. Lokaha means a person. It's not the word. A person does not see na vishi karoti. How? Antakana vritti sanyuktena. So, antakana vritti sanyuktam is what? A seeing power which is associated with the respective vritti. Antakana vritti sanyuktam. Antakana vritti sanyuktam chakshu alone sees, perceives. When the vritti, antakana vritti sanyuktam, it is not antakana vritti sanyuktam. The seeing power is not associated with the respective thought, called netra vrittihi. Netra vrittihi means what? A specific thought which backs up the seeing power is called the netra vrittihi, shrotra vrittihi, we have different vrittis pertinent to respective sense power. So chakshuhu, there is a chakshur vrittihi or netra vrittihi, the specific antakarna vritti which backs up the seeing power and which enables the seeing power see the object, perceive the object. That's why antakarna vritti sanyuktena chakshusha lokaha na pashyati na vishayikaroti. So with antakana vritti asanyuktena chakshusha na pashyati. Nothing a person sees. A person cannot see, does not see anything if the seeing power is not associated with or backed by the respective vritti. Antakana vritti, a thought modification, a thought. Then through that eye, a person can see what? Person sees anything and everything perceptible through the seeing power. Through the eye, which is associated with this respective thought. Suppose antakana vritti asanyuktena chakshusha kimapina pashyati. If the eye seeing power is not associated with or backed by the antakana vrittihi, antakana sanyuktihi is not there, it's not sanyuktam chakshuhu, then nothing can be seen. Nothing can be seen means what? The person can be looking at things, nothing gets registered. Keeping eyes open, wide open, watching things, but nothing gets registered. Because antakana vritti sanyogaha is very important. Oh, each sense power must be antakarana vritti sanyuktaha. Sanyuktam karanam only perceives. But even if the seeing power being associated with the antakarana vrittihi can illumine only the external world of objects. So a person, lokaha pashyati. Lokaha means any person sees. Man sees the object with the antakarna vritti sanyuktena chakshusha, sees the external world of objects but not Brahman. So that which one does not see with the seeing power through the chakshuhu, chakshurindriyam, which is associated with the respective antakarna vritti. But yena chakshumshi antakarna vritti bheda bhinnaha yena chakshumshi, but all the functions of the seeing power, I mean, different things seeing power, antakarana vritti bheda bhinnaha chakshur vritti, antakarana vritti bheda bhinnaha chakshumsi. Vritti bheda bhinnaha chakshumsi means what? The seeing power. When the seeing power is seeing the light, there is a light cognition. The light vritti pertaining to the light. Vritti pertaining to the green color. Vritti pertaining to the red color. Vritti pertaining to various colors. Vrittis pertaining to various forms, various objects, various shapes, countless number of objects we perceive, shapes and forms, a countless number of opaque things which we perceive, which reflect the light through the seeing power. That's why it is said, antakarna vritti bheda bhinnaha chakshumsi. The seeing power associated with various thoughts pertaining to various objects perceptible through seeing power. So the various thoughts, but various sounds do not associate with the seeing power. One seeing power alone associated with various objects, light, different colors, different shapes, different forms. That's why antakana vritti bheda bhinnaha chakshumsi. That's why it's said to be various functions. Means what? Seeing a green color is one function, seeing the red color is one function. Means the various perceptions. The various perceptions of various objects which reflect the light, including the light, are perceived because of the seeing power, with the help seeing power backed by various vrittis pertaining to various objects. So yena chakshumsi antakarana vritti veda bhinnaha chakshumsi pashyati. So chakshur vrittihi. So antakarana vritti veda bhinnaha chakshumsi pashyati. So chakshur vrittihi. So there's a relative but specific thought associated with which backs up the seeing power is chakshur vrittihi. I said netra vrittihi earlier. Say netra vrittihi, shrotra vrittihi, or we can see here chakshur vrittihi. Then pashyati. Chaitanya Atma Jyotisha Vishayi Karoti. Chaitanya Atma Jyotisha Vishayi Karoti. Vyapnoti. It is by the light of the consciousness obtaining as the innermost essence. It is because of the blessing of the light of consciousness, all pervasive consciousness, obtaining as the innermost essence, as very content of I. It is by that alone, because the blessing of the consciousness alone, Atma, Chaitanya Atma Jyotisha. Why Chaitanya Atma, Chaitanya Jyotisha would have been enough. Acharya makes it very clear. The Chaitanyam is all pervasive. Therefore it is implied by the term Atma. Being all pervasive also, it obtains as the innermost essence of every individual. Even obtaining as the innermost, as the internal to the antakarnam also. That's why Chaitanya Atma Jyotisha, only it's because of the light of all pervasive consciousness obtaining as the innermost self alone, being blessed by the conscious mind, the seeing power perceives, objectifies. Objectifies means what? It pervades the object. And it brings the object to light, illumines the object. Therefore, may you understand that Chaitanya Atma Jyotihi to be Brahman. May you understand Chaitanya Atma Jyotihi to be Brahman. May you understand that all pervasive consciousness obtaining as the innermost essence, backing up the seeing power, to be Brahma, not anything which a person worships. This one vrittihi, okay, respective vrittihi, chakshur vrittihi. It is the chakshur vrittihi. Mind must be functional. Chakshur vrittihi then rises and it associates itself with the seeing power. That is how seeing power becomes conscious and sentient, and through this seeing power, it pervades the external object and it brings the object to light. So, chakshuhu, the indriya, chakshur indriyam, because chakshur vrittihi becomes conscious, sentient. Then what happens? Then it illumines various objects. And then there's various thought modification, various thoughts pertaining to various objects which shine light. With being associated with those various thoughts pertaining to various objects alone, the seeing power illumines the external objects. Therefore, eyes cannot objectify, perceive the Atma. So, Chaitanya Atma Jyotisha Vishikaroti Vyapnoti. And that Chaitanya Jyotiratma Yeva Brahma Iti Vridhi Tadeva Ityadi Purvavat. Okay. Yet Chakshushana Pashyati Yena Chakshogamshi Pashyati Tadeva Brahmatvam Vidhi Nedam Edam Upasate. I'll read the Bhashma again. Yet Chakshushana Pashyati Na vishikaroti antahkarana vritti sanyuktena lokaha na vishikaroti yat. That Brahman which a person does not objectify through the seeing power associated with respective vritti. But it is because of which alone the seeing power associated with various thought modifications but the various objects illumines the external objects. Okay. Chaitanyatma Jyotisha Vishikaroti Vyapnoti Tadeva Brahma Ityadi Purvavat. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.